A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 373. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about the Super Marionation Revival. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, indeed we are. It's that time of the year when, as regular listeners know, we like to cover a spin-off from one of the shows or types of shows that we have covered in the past. And this time we're looking at a number of recent films, documentaries and projects that we're grouping together as the Super Marionation Revival. So we've got a documentary, we've got some new Thunderbirds episodes, and we've got some other new material from mainstream television and from YouTube to talk about. We've got quite a lot to get through, a packed agenda, Brian.
Absolutely. And this is all coming from Century 21 Films under Stephen LaRiviere. He has sort of masterminded this set of things. And this is not to be confused with Anderson Entertainment Limited, which is run by Jamie Anderson, and is also doing some interesting things with the Gerry Anderson properties. But we won't be focusing on them this time. We'll be focusing on Century 21 Films.
And you'll hear us mention Stephen LaRiviere's name quite a lot, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. We have covered Gerry Anderson's Super Marionation puppet shows in the past. We've covered almost all of his 1960s puppet shows, the Super Marionation Marionette series. There were quite a number of those, and we've been talking about those roughly once a year. We've looked at quite a few of them.
Yes, and of course you'll remember that this includes such triumphs as Stingray, Thunderbirds, possibly our favourite, Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons. And we've talked quite a bit about the sort of technicals behind making these shows, particularly the technology they introduced to lip sync the puppets to the voice cast, to the actors' voices. We've talked about some of the voices themselves, some famous names behind the puppets. And of course, we've also discussed quite at length, really, the fact that Gerry and Sylvia Anderson often, quite frequently, they like to work with very, very talented people. So we've talked about the genius of Derek Medins and the special effects and those gripping explosions, which would later go on to give him a role in the Bond films. And we've talked about the musical genius of Barry Gray a few times, Brian. The soundtracks, the theme music that was so much a part of these Anderson shows from the 60s.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you can find all of our episodes that we've talked about those things at BritishInvaders.com. And we will talk about some of these people and some of these bits of technology as we go in this discussion as well. So we, unusually for us, we are going to go chronologically and start with a show called Filmed in Super Marionation. This was a two-hour documentary that came out in 2014, and it was produced and directed by Stephen LaRiviere, who we've mentioned already. He had started his career producing video documentaries about classic television shows like The Saint, The Champions, and The Persuaders.
Yes, clearly he's got a love for that sort of genre of television. He had produced a documentary about Supercar called Full Boost Vertical, the Supercar story, in 2004 when he was only 20. And I note from his website, Brian, that he said he managed to bluff his way into a directing job when he was only 18. having left school at 15. So, you know, it's quite remarkable that he ended up making these sorts of documentaries. But there you go.
And he clearly has this big interest in sort of cult television from the UK.
Absolutely. And I think he mostly grew up watching the revivals, or rather the reruns in the 90s, I think he said, on British television. And so much so that in 2008, he published a book filmed in Super Mario Nation, was the title, which, of course, was all about the Gerry Anderson productions, including lots of never-before-seen production photos and some interviews and so on. So that's how he started on this project.
That's right. And he was also writing articles for Japanese books and magazines about various Gerry Anderson shows. And the success of these books led him to propose a documentary film that would also be called Filmed in Super Mario Nation. And when Gerry Anderson sadly passed away in 2012, it was at this point that La Riviere decided to go ahead with this and really go and produce this documentary.
And so, to do so, he formed a production company called Century 21 Films with his filmmaking partners Andrew T. Smith and Susan Buck. He then tracked down as many of the surviving cast and crew of Gerry Anderson's team of Super Mario Nation productions from the 60s. And then interviewed them, and I think we were discussing before, Brian, whether he had some archive interviews with Gerry Anderson himself from his book project. And then, of course, he wanted to put these together with some linking sequences of actual Super Mario Nation. So they set about filming new segments with puppets or special effects sequences.
That's right. And they really wanted to recreate the look, the sound, and the feel of the 1960s shows with these new segments that they were creating. So they had new dialogue recorded by some of the original cast members. They had replica puppets that were something like 2,000 pounds to 5,000 pounds in price to build each puppet, because they included the lip syncing that was one of the things that made Super Mario Nation. Arguably, that was the super part. The puppet has a solenoid in it that controls the mouth part, you know, makes the jaw move up and down. When the audio recording, pre-recorded audio recordings of the dialogue are fed into it, and they automatically, with the solenoid, open and close the mouth in time with the dialogue. And that was something that made Super Mario Nation compelling originally in the 60s, and it was something that they recreated and did pretty much in the same way in this 2014 documentary. And for special effects sequences, they did their explosions and the like very much in the way that had been done in the 60s, and similarly with the vehicle shots and things like that. They shot those on 35mm film and used all of those old techniques with things like rolling backgrounds that would move across to make it look like something was moving and all of those sorts of things. For the puppet sequences, they filmed those digitally, and that was so they could do a bit of post-production, and they removed the wires, which was something they couldn't do in the 1960s. In the 60s, they just had to try to de-emphasize the wires as much as they could as they were shooting it. Here, they did remove the wires, and then they processed the footage to make it look more film-like and to make it look like 1960s 35mm film.
And we'd have to say that it's astonishing results. The efforts they went to recreate the look and feel of those 60s episodes with the puppetry is just stunning and, you know, well worth the effort they put into it.
It looks remarkably authentic for, you know, 4 or 5 decades later, coming back together and building new stuff for it. It looks remarkably authentic.
And as we say, this is a 2-hour documentary. It was released theatrically at the British Film Institute in September 2014 and is now available on DVD for £7 or Blu-ray for £10, or you can stream it here in the UK for a fiver. And you find there's quite a bit, there's quite a few extra features on there. There's some little deleted scenes and extra bits of interviews. And the Blu-ray, I note, Brian, is region free. Is that right?
Yes, the Blu-ray is region free, which is nice. I don't know about frame rates and things, if it will play on every North American player, but the ones that are not region locked at this point will play on most of them. So yeah, you have a region free Blu-ray available for this. And there is also an extra disc that goes along with that. Depending which package you buy, you can buy a single disc version or you can buy a double disc version, where the second disc is called This is Super Mario Nation, and it gives you a collection of episodes, and that one episode from each Super Mario Nation series. And those are introduced by Lady Penelope and Parker, and also by Scott Tracy, with Sylvia Anderson and David Graham and Shane Rimmer reprising their original voice role. So that's quite neat. That disc, I think, due to the licensing, is not region free. That's a region B disc for the Blu-ray.
But all in all, it's a nice package, and it gives you, as you say, a little bit of flavor of Super Mario Nation with these wonderful linking sections that they've redone or that they've created anew with Parker and Lady Penelope and Scott Tracy, and how great to have the original voices behind them as well. So that is quite lovely. The whole thing is just fabulous, Brian.
Yes, the actual documentary part of it, the explanations, the interviews, the things with people who had originally worked on it, going back to those locations, you know, going back to that studio where they had worked so many years ago. All of that is really lovely. It's done very well. They had Jamie Anderson, Jerry Anderson's son, does speak on it in the interviews, and they interviewed Sylvia Anderson's daughter as well. They had Jerry and Sylvia Anderson themselves speaking on it. They had a lot of original cast members in there, and they really did a sort of loving tribute to the whole Super Mario Nation era, and that was nice.
So that's filmed in Super Mario Nation. Let's move on to what was called Thunderbird 1965, although it's now, I think, goes by the Thunderbird, the anniversary specials. Because, of course, if they've learnt how to recreate the Super Mario Nation effects, the puppetry and all the bits and pieces that go with it, their thoughts did eventually turn, obviously, to creating some new episodes. And so they did three new episodes of Thunderbirds for the 50th anniversary. And to do so, they adapted three vinyl adventures. There were 19 audio adventures of Thunderbirds released in the mid-60s on vinyl EPs. They were written by Alan Fennell, Jim Watson, Desmond Saunders, and even David Graham had a hand in them as well. That's what they turned to make these new episodes.
Yes, that's right. So they're in part new episodes, but they're using the original audio, which I think has been, you know, edited and tweaked a little bit to accommodate the new visuals being added. But it is basically audio that was out there in the 60s, which means you have the complete original voice cast. And it meant that you had something that is quite authentic to start with that way. I believe when they were making Thunderbirds in the mid-1960s, they did their cast audio recordings for each episode, which would be sent along to have Super Mario Nation done. While they were recording those, they would record these audio plays that would go out on vinyl EPs while they were at it. So you had the voice cast sort of in stride while they were doing the TV series, were doing these voice recordings as well. And it's that they're expanding on with this new Super Mario Nation they're adding. And they did certainly have approval and endorsement from the Anderson estate and from Sylvia Anderson and Jamie Anderson and from ITV as well. So this was something that was being, I think, quite celebrated by the people who were involved in the original.
Fantastic stuff.
And it was actually launched on Kickstarter in July 2015 with the hope of raising £75,000 to produce a single episode. They ended up getting to their three-episode target of £220,000 in 2 weeks. So rather than just doing one, they did three, which was nice. And as well as DVDs of those episodes, the Kickstarter rewards also included production photo books, re-releases of the original vinyl episodes, signed scripts, and even a Thunderbirds experience, which allowed supporters who had put enough into it to visit the studio in Slough and see the filming of these new episodes in process.
And the three episodes chosen from those original audio adventures, one was called Introducing Thunderbirds, then they did The Abominable Snowman and The Stately Home Robberies. And you mentioned Slough because they managed to go back to the original Stirling Road trading estate in Slough that Anderson had used, in the same warehouse that had been the Anderson Studios, which you may remember over the years became a car mechanics garage after TV21 had been there. And at the time of filming this, these three episodes, it was actually scheduled for demolition. So they managed to get back in there and recreate the Anderson experience literally in the same place, Brian, which is amazing.
Yes, the very same building. They were able to set up a very similar setup there, which I believe they first did with filmed in Super Marionation and then continued with this for these episodes. So yeah, quite remarkable they were able to do this 50 years later. And there were lots of old skills that hadn't been used since the 60s that they were reviving, with sometimes the same people doing it and sometimes new people doing it. And they really got things to work for doing these visuals in the same way that they had done back in the 1960s. The three episodes were directed by Stephen LaRiviere and David Elliott, who had directed some Thunderbirds episodes in the 60s, and also by Justin T. Lee.
Astonishing to have David Elliott actually directing one of these again, you know, 50 years later.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look on their website and on the DVDs, you can see news clips of various stations covering this production and interviewing LaRiviere and Jamie Anderson as well. You know, this was quite a remarkable thing that was happening, and both the BBC and ITV were covering it.
Yes, I mean, how lovely that there was quite a bit of interest in this project to recreate, or to make, as it were, inverted commas, new episodes of Thunderbirds. And you may remember, if you're a fan of the British BBC quiz show Mastermind, that when they get to the final of Mastermind, each contestant gets a little piece of sort of background film showing them going around their everyday life or their interests. And for just by coincidence, that year, one of the finalists had chosen as his specialist subject Thunderbirds. And so, of course, they took him to the studio in Slough, where they were filming the anniversary episodes, and did the little feature of him there visiting the sets. And you can see that on their website as well, which is quite lovely.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic.
And of course, this one also premiered at the BFI, this time in January 2016, the three half-hour episodes of Thunderbirds 1965. And of course, then you got the DVD and Blu-ray and all the packages going out to the Kickstarters and all the people who had backed the project. So that was, you know, nice to actually get the project succeed and then produce something for the backers.
Yes, and it's a lovely DVD that went out. Maybe I should have bought the Blu-ray, but I did get the DVD at the time. And the episodes themselves look beautiful, and they did a really nice package on that disc.
And for some inexplicable reason to me and to you, and probably to our listeners as well, Brian, I only backed the project at the sort of thank you level and didn't get any of the rewards for some reason. But fortunately, last year, it was announced that all of original Thunderbirds and the three anniversary specials, as they're now calling them, went on, well, or were going on to the BritBox streaming service over here. And so, thanks to their seven-day free trial period, I've been able to watch all three episodes. And then, of course, you can carry on your subscription if you want to stick around and watch more Thunderbirds and other great shows for about £6 a month. So I've stuck with them as well. So thankfully, I have been able to see these episodes, but goodness knows what I was thinking of in 2015, Brian.
Yes, there has been the odd screening of those episodes here and there. I'm not aware of any legitimate way to watch them outside of the UK without having those original Kickstarter discs, which fortunately I have one. The BritBox in Canada, I double-checked, does not have any of the Gerry Anderson-related things, and I believe that's the case in the US as well.
Shame. Luckily, I've been able to get them here on BritBox, thank goodness.
So after the success of Thunderbirds 1965, those anniversary specials, the advertising agency Adam and Eve DDB approached the team with the idea for a Thunderbirds commercial for the Halifax Building Society, which I believe is similar to what we would call a credit union in North America. And they went ahead with that and did some Thunderbirds puppet sequences for Halifax advertising material, with those puppet sequences directed and filmed by Stephen LaRiviere.
Of course. And if you're over here in the UK, you're familiar with the Halifax ads. At the time, you may remember, they were running a series of ads in which cartoon characters such as the Flintstones, Scooby-Doo and Top Cat would go into a branch of the Building Society and interact with staff. So for this episode, they had, of course, Lady Penelope and Parker visiting a branch to take part in a saving competition that was going on at the time. And these episodes, directed by LaRiviere, were broadcast in 2017. Sadly, not the original voice actors for Parker and Lady Penelope. And of course, Sylvia Anderson had passed away in March 2016. Although, thank goodness, David Graham is still with us as we record, Brian.
Yes, he is. David Graham has stepped back from working as an actor just recently. I think he's still doing a little bit, but he's 96 now, so we're happy to have him enjoy his retirement at this point.
Absolutely.
They also produced some short films with brains giving savings tips, which were designed to be shown on the video screens in the branches of Halifax.
And you can find some of those to look at on YouTube as well, and they're all great fun.
Absolutely. So I think we should talk about the availability of some of the things we've already discussed. Filmed in Super Marionation, the documentary we talked about, is widely available on DVD and Blu-ray. Certainly the Blu-ray is region-free. And if you get the version that contains This is Super Marionation, the collection of episodes, that one is Region B only. But the main documentary is all regions.
Stephen LaRiviere's book, Filmed in Super Marionation, has also been reissued in a nice, attractive hardback package. And it's slightly priced at about £34, but I'm told it's much, much preferable to the ebook version on Kindle, which although is only a fiver at the moment, and it is included on the Kindle Unlimited scheme over here in the UK. But the big hardback package, I'm going to have to get that, I think, Brian. That looks like the one to get.
There has actually been a deluxe box set available that included both the book and the documentary and some various other little bits and pieces. There were a couple of different versions that were limited edition and had different groups of things included, and I believe those are all sold out now, but you may find them kicking around somewhere.
Now, as we said, if you want to watch the anniversary episodes, thankfully they're on the streaming service BritBox over here in the UK, and as I said, you can take advantage of the 7-day free trial period to actually just watch those three episodes. They're only half an hour each, and they're well worth it just to see the skill and the artistry they've put in to bringing those audio adventures to life.
Yes, the anniversary episodes are really lovely. And the Halifax ads, as we mentioned, are available on YouTube, and the Century 21 Films website has the video clips, the YouTube links, and has lots of information about all of these productions.
So that's quite a lot of stuff to look at for our first episode, Brian.
Absolutely. So next time, we have some more Super Mario Nation revival projects to cover, including an episode from a popular mystery TV series and some things produced in the lockdown of 2020. So interesting things to look at there, and we'll cover the availability of those as we go, of course, as well.
And of course, we're going to rate and review this Super Mario Nation revival and give you an idea of which ones we think you should track down and watch.
Absolutely. So until then, you can find all of our episodes, including all of the Gerry Anderson ones, Super Mario Nation and otherwise, on BritishInvaders.com. All of it's there. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can join our group and join in on some of the discussions happening there.
Do please come along and join in the fun. And do also check out the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Point your Thunderbird of choice towards the Tracy Island of VogNetwork.com to check out all the streaming and gaming stuff and other podcasts that's going on there.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.